Hello, hello, it's the Sunday Scaries of Espresso Crime, and today's episode is about 11 death row inmates' last words right before being executed. We'll finish this episode with current crimes, which includes deathbed confessions, cold case playing cards, and more, so let's get right into the list. Number one on the list, Ivan Cantu. He was convicted in October 2001 for the double murder of his cousin and the cousin's girlfriend. The fatal shooting took place on November 4, 2000 in Dallas. He maintained his innocence throughout, and the evidence used in the conviction was thought to be questionable by his supporters, which included politicians, celebrities, and organizations, and they were asking for the case to be reviewed. So he was executed on February 28th of this year, and his last words were, "I did not kill James and Amy, and if I did, if I knew who did, you would have been the first to know any information I would have had that would have helped to bring closure." So this one is really recent. He was just executed a couple months ago. And it's just kind of crazy, you know, having so much support and everything. However, he was executed. And the last words were, of course, that he did not kill the cousin and the cousin's girlfriend. And just continuing to maintain that innocence throughout. Second on the list is a throwback crime, George Engel. In 1886, a labor demonstration took place at Haymarket Square in Chicago. So it was to advocate for workers' rights, particularly the 8-hour workday. During the demonstration, though, a bomb was thrown at police officers, resulting in the death of several officers and civilians. The incident led to a wave of anti-labor sentiment and a crackdown on labor activists. So George Engel was one of the 8 individuals who were arrested and charged with conspiracy and incitement to murder in connection with the Haymarket bombing. The prosecution argued that he and his co-defendants, who were prominent anarchists and labor activists, had conspired to incite violence during the demonstration. He, along with his co-defendants, were found guilty and sentenced to death. The trial was highly controversial, with many critics arguing that the defendants were scapegoats targeted for their anarchist beliefs rather than their involvement in the bombing. On November 11, 1887, he and 3 other defendants were executed by hanging. His last words were, "Hurrah for anarchy. This is the happiest moment of my life." So this is a major throwback crime here, and those last words. Third on the list, Barbara Graham. She was born Barbara Elaine Ford. She was involved in petty crime from a young age and had a very troubled upbringing. In March 1953, she became acquainted with Jack Santo and Emmett Perkins, 2 men with criminal backgrounds. Along with these men and 2 other accomplices, she participated in the robbery of a home in Burbank, California. During the robbery, the woman was brutally murdered. So Graham and her accomplices were quickly apprehended by the police, and she was identified as one of the perps. She was charged with murder and brought to trial. She was found guilty of murder and sentenced to death. Her case sparked controversy and public debate, with many arguing that she did not receive a fair trial and that there was insufficient evidence to convict her. Despite numerous appeals and efforts to secure a retrial, she was executed in the gas chamber at San Quentin State Prison on June 3, 1955. Her last words were, "Good people are always so sure they're right." So not only is, of course, this list all about the last words before being executed, there's also a lot of controversy in all of these cases as well. Number 4 is another throwback. In 1877, Wallace Wilkerson was sentenced to death for the shooting and killing of William Baxter. On May 16, 1879, the day of his execution, he sat in a chair, held a cigar, and declined to be blindfolded. "I give you my word, I intend to die like a man, looking my executioners right in the eye," he said moments before the firing squad received the signal. His last words came after the bullets missed his heart, which failed to kill him. He said, oh my God, they have missed." He struggled to breathe for 15 to 27 minutes, depending on different witness accounts, before bleeding to death. So this one's just really crazy. Really 2 different times of last words before being executed, with the first time failing. Number 5 on the list, in 1994, Jeffrey David Matthew robbed and fatally shot his 77-year-old great-uncle. He slit the throat of his great-aunt as well. However, she did survive. He was sentenced to death. His execution had been postponed 3 times, twice by the governor of Oklahoma to further investigate his claims of innocence, and once due to the controversy surrounding which drugs they were going to use to execute him. On the 4th and final attempt, he was executed on January 11, 2011. His last words were, "I think that governor's phone is broke. He hadn't called yet." Just very fitting last words for 3 executions being postponed. Number 6 on the list, George Appale. So this is a kind of throwback crime. In 1928, he was convicted of first-degree murder for killing a police officer in New York City. He was immediately sentenced to death by electric chair. As he was being strapped into the fatal device, he delivered his famous last words, "Well, gentlemen, you're about to see a baked appeal." Kind of like a pun there, baked apple. Okay, number 7 on the list, Eileen Wuornos. She was an American female serial killer. In 1899 to 1990, while in Florida, she was working as a sex worker, and that is when she killed and robbed 7 male clients. She claimed that all the murders were committed in self-defense. Despite that claim, she was sentenced to death for 6 of the murders. She was executed on October 9, 2002 by lethal injection after more than 10 years on Florida's death row. Her last words were, "Yes, I would just like to say I'm sailing with the rock and I'll be back like Independence Day with Jesus. June 6, like the movie Big Mothership and all, I'll be back, I'll be back." Number 8 on the list, James French. In 1958, he picked up a hitchhiker and killed him. He was convicted and sentenced to life in prison. While serving the life sentence in 1961, he strangled his prison cellmate. So that murder case was marked by 2 mistrials and his insistence on receiving the death penalty. He would write letters like appealing the courts to just sentence him to death. He was literally begging to die in these letters. After the 3rd trial in 1965, he was sentenced to death. He was executed on August 10th, 1966. His last words were, "How about this for a headline for tomorrow's paper? French fries." Number 9 on the list, Johnny Frank Garrett was convicted of the rape and murder of Sister Tatis Benz, a nun in Amarillo, Texas, in 1981. At the time, he was 17. The case had been highly controversial, with some believing that he was wrongfully convicted due to issues with the evidence and the legal process. In 1992, he was executed, and his last words were, "I'd like to thank my family for loving me and taking care of me, and the rest of the world can kiss my ass." Number 10 on the list, Thomas Grasso. On December 24, 1990, he strangled a 87-year-old woman using her Christmas tree lights in her Tulsa home. He stole $8 from her purse, $4 in loose change, and her television set, which he sold for $125. 6 months later, after moving to New York with his wife, he murdered an 81-year-old man from Staten Island on July 4, 1991, and then he did steal his Social Security check. New York detectives investigating that murder arrested him within 2 weeks, and he had confessed to police. He first told investigators about the Staten Island killing and then also about the murder in Oklahoma. He pleaded guilty and was sentenced to 20 years to life on April 21, 1992 for the murder in New York. On September 28, 1992, he pleaded guilty to murdering the Oklahoma woman, and he was sentenced to death in Oklahoma. He spent his last days on the normal prison schedule, confined for 23 hours a day to the cell. He was allowed 1 hour exercise per day and 3 showers per week. At the age of 32, on March 20th, 1995, he was executed. His last words were, "I did not get my SpaghettiOs. I got spaghetti. I want the press to know this." Number 11 and last on the list, in 1982, 20-year-old Jimmy Glass and inmate Jimmy Wingo escaped from jail and shot an elderly couple to death while they were robbing them. Both blamed each other for the crime and both were sentenced to death. He was executed on June 12, 1978, and his last words were, "I'd rather be fishing." Now into current crimes. A 10-year-old South Texas boy was being questioned for allegedly threatening to kill a classmate when he confessed to killing a man for no reason at all 2 years ago. According to state law, he can't be charged for that murder, though. The child told investigators firsthand information about the shooting death of a 32-year-old man on January 18, 2022 in Nixon, Texas. The child said he was visiting his grandfather at an RV park that day, a few lots down from where the victim was living. He told investigators he took a pistol from the glove box of his grandfather's truck, entered the RV belonging to the victim, and shot him once, killing him. The child told investigators he had never met the victim before and had seen him walking around earlier in the day. The child was also asked if he was mad at the victim or if he had ever done anything to him, and the child said no. So that is just really crazy. One, the fact that he's, you know, threatening to kill another child, and then also confessing to killing someone 2 years ago. This is just unreal. Next is the Mississippi Coast Crime Stoppers have created cold case playing cards that have information about various unsolved homicide and missing persons cases. They've printed 2,500 of the decks to be distributed within 7 jails. I thought this was really crazy, but apparently, this technique has been used before and it has a record of success. So this has been used in Minnesota and Connecticut as well previously, and they have found that they were able to get information and solved cases this way. So inmates who report information that leads to the discovery of a body of a missing person or an arrest in a case would receive $2,500. She did add, though, that the Mississippi Coast Crime Stoppers have not figured out how people in jail could receive these funds, but at this point, they have put these cold case playing cards into these jails, and I guess they will figure it out as they go if they get any tips or anything like that. This week, a man in prison since last year has been indicted on murder and other charges in the 2012 killing of a retired farmer. He was found shot to death in his western Indiana home. So the earliest release is going to be January 2nd, 2053. Next, a Louisiana man has been sentenced to decades in prison and physical castration after pleading guilty to raping a teenager. That's according to a news release from this week. So Glenn Sullivan Sr., who's 54, pled guilty to 4 counts of second-degree rape on April 17th. Authorities began investigating him in July 2022 when a young woman told the sheriff's office that Sullivan had assaulted her multiple times since she was 14. The assaults resulted in pregnancy, and a DNA test confirmed that Sullivan was the father of the child. He also groomed the victim and threatened her and her family to prevent her from coming forward. So a 2008 Louisiana law says that men convicted of certain rape offenses may be sentenced to chemical castration. They can also elect to be physically castrated. So basically, he will be required to be physically castrated. The process will be carried out by the state's Department of Corrections. According to the law, it cannot be conducted more than a week before a person's prison sentence ends. So this means Sullivan wouldn't be castrated until a week before the end of his 50-year sentence, when he would be more than 100 years old. So it likely won't happen. However, I thought it was just crazy that they have this law in place for actual castration. It's just really interesting, and I really wanted to include it here. Okay, next. Remains believed to be that of a woman and her daughter who have not been seen in nearly 24 years were found at a southern West Virginia home on the same day that the girl's alleged killer died while in prison. This is according to the state police. The suspect confessed on his deathbed to shooting and killing Susan and Natasha Carter, who had been missing for over 2 decades, and this was said to be done over financial troubles. So the person was in his 80s. He suffered a medical episode on Monday at the correctional complex where he was being held without bond after having been arrested earlier this month in connection with the girl's death. He was pronounced dead at a hospital 6 hours before the remains were discovered. So deathbed confession and potentially solving this cold case nearly 24 years since they have been seen. And then our last current crime here is Valerie and Ryan Watson from Oklahoma went on a vacation in Turks and Caicos. On the way back, they were questioned and ultimately charged for having 4 ammo in their bag. The ammo was said to have been left over from a past hunting trip when the bag was last used. So it belonged to Ryan Watson, the husband. He was an avid like outdoorsman. And that's when they found those 4 pieces of ammo in the bag. So that charge, though, comes with a 12-year minimum sentence in a Turks and Caicos prison. Valerie Watson has since been released from custody. She flew home Tuesday as Ryan Watson awaits a June 7th court appearance. And that is according to a recent GoFundMe update. Ryan Watson maintains that it was a boneheaded mistake on his part, not knowing that the ammo he typically uses to hunt deer with were in his bag. A U.S. Department spokesperson told USA Today on Thursday that they are aware of the arrests of U.S. citizens in Turks and Caicos. They said, when a U.S. citizen is arrested overseas, we stand ready to provide all appropriate consular assistance in a foreign country. U.S. citizens are subject to the country's laws, even if they differ from those in the U.S. That's really important in this case. The Watsons aren't the first American tourists to experience this. A very similar situation happened just in February from a Pennsylvania resident. So this does happen, and it's just really, it is crazy, like a 12-year sentence. But at the end of the day, when you do travel, you absolutely have to abide by the country's rules that you are in. You need to be checking your baggage, everything like that. It's kind of like crazy to me that he was able to get there without anyone seeing this ammo, and then it was only found on the way back. So really interested to see if anything comes out from, you know, TSA on the way there. Did they miss this? What happened with that? And just kind of to see how this case progresses. I've seen this case so much on Instagram lately, like this past week, it's just everywhere. And I feel like people are really divided on it, either like, this is crazy, like he didn't do anything wrong, let him go, or, you know, he needs to know that he broke a law, etc. I think 12 years in prison would be extremely harsh for this type of, if he is, you know, mistake. But at the end of the day, he did make this mistake. You have absolutely need to know what's in your bags and what those countries' laws are that you're visiting. I really can't see him getting 12 years. We'll be really interested to see how that goes. I don't think he deserves 12 years at all. But it is just kind of crazy. And I just want to include it here because I've seen it so often this week. That does wrap up today's episode. Thank you for listening. I will see you Sunday for more Sunday Scaries by Expresso Crime. Bye for now.